What is going on?
Hey, there you are.
What's up, Buttercup?
Back from the con. No con crud. You're okay. You survived.
Yep, I am good.
Very good. Good to know.
No con crud. No sniffles. No leakage. I'm all good.
No frying pans from the wife.
Nope.
For your spending.
Nope. None of that.
Look at that. You survived the first one of the season.
Yep. The only thing that was bad was Thursday night. I got a text that said the dryer belt broke.
Oh.
So.
That's the worst.
But it was only $15 on Amazon, so.
Yeah, you just never can predict when that'll happen.
Yep.
Man. Well, what? Tell me, tell the listeners, the Nerdy Legion listeners, Ronnie Barrett, about C2E2 2020.
Well, it was a really, really good time.
When did you get in? When did you leave?
Well, for the second time in 4 years, 5 years, however long we've been going now.
Mm-hmm.
4 years, I think. I took the train.
Oh, nice.
And fellow podcast listeners and fellow podcasters, First Issue Club from Kansas City, they were on the train as well.
Oh, very cool.
So there was Bloody Marys to be had.
Oh, no.
At least on my end. I'm not going to speak for them.
Does the train ride make it easy to lay back and read, or is it a financial thing, or are you just not wanting to drive that long of a distance?
One of the guys that came with me,
mm-hmm.
when we used to come to Chicago Wizard World at Roachport,
mm-hmm.
He would drive the whole time, or every year that we went. And like this year, I think it was like $120 round trip.
Oh.
So he was like, hey, let's just try this again. And then, you know, if we have a bad experience, then we'll just chalk it up as that. So.
Gotcha. So there was no stoppage of the train this time. There was no inclement weather, that type of thing.
Yep. Everything was smooth sailing.
Nice. Did anyone bring a bucket of chicken? Because the last time I took Amtrak, that happened to me. So
no chicken, but there was lots of Amish/Mennonites.
Ooh.
Or Juggalos.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh boy. As long as there wasn't a stinky bucket of chicken, that's all I care about.
Nope, no bucket of chicken.
Well, okay, very good. So you got in Thursday, and
yep.
how was the place you guys stayed at?
Man, it was like staying at the Marriott.
Really?
There was 4 floors.
What?
4 floors. Well, there was 3 floors and then a basement. But the basement was fully finished with a poker table, wet bar, couches, love seats.
So this was like renting out an entire residence, not just a motel room.
Correct.
Okay.
Kind of like last year, only it was the whole brownstone instead of just apartment 4 or whatever.
Dang, that's really nice.
Yeah.
And comparable price-wise, how was the location? How did it make it tough to get to the con?
Nope. Actually, we were probably like 2 or 3 blocks closer than we were last year.
Dang.
So, you know, we were a mile.
That's nice. And I know Dennis said that there was ample parking, which was nice too.
Yep. Which I think he was the only one that drove because Dennis and Jay drove Wednesday from St. Louis to Wisconsin to go to Cowabunga.
That's their annual trek.
Yeah. And then they pulled in, I would say, probably at like 3. Them and Bill Beer from the Bat Pod. And then Brad and I got there about 3:15 or so.
Nice.
And then Aaron's flight got canceled.
Oh, now how does he have this luck?
I don't know.
How? Oh, my God.
And then, so Travis was the next one to get there.
Okay, all right.
At about 5:30-ish.
This is Thursday or Wednesday?
Yeah, this is Thursday.
Thursday, okay, gotcha.
So what we did, what Brad, Donnie, and I did, as soon as we got to the B&B, we put our stuff in, said our highs, and then we called an Uber and went to the McCormick Center and got our badges.
Dang, that was smart, I'm sure.
Yep. And then...
Did anyone wait till Friday to pick up their badge?
Well, Dewan, Aaron, and Travis did because they all got in after 6 o'clock, so...
Oh, okay. And how did that go? I'm dying to hear how that went.
Well... Aaron went over like right at 8 o'clock, I think it was.
Okay.
And he was in and out. And I think Bill went with him, even though Bill already had his badge.
Gotcha. Just for support.
Yeah. And so they just stayed around the con until we all got there about 10:30 or so. So they
I was going to say the con doesn't open till 10. Yeah. So yeah, you have a little time.
Yeah.
And then how did it go for Dewan? Getting there at
10:30. It was pretty much, it was fine. I mean, we had to go through the queue and everything. This year, it was pretty cool, actually. So, you've been there multiple times. So, you know, as soon as you walk in, there's the big entrance. And then you have to take the left to the metal detectors and then get in queue.
Yep.
Well, you know, there's the two guards that stand by the main entrance. So, like, if you're walking out, you can go out there, but you can't go in there?
Yeah, it's a one-way street. Yeah.
Well, not this year, buddy. If you had a press pass, you can go right through there.
Ooh, that helps.
Yeah. So, I think we only... Well, let's just say on the left side, we could go through there, but we had to go through baggage, the metal detectors, and then and then there was, like, a little exit or... off-ramp thing, then we can go straight there. We didn't have to go all the way down and then turn and get in queue.
The big cattle.
Yeah.
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 Cattle area that everyone gets herded into. Oh, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So, but on the right side or on the far side, those security people, they were like, oh, you could just come and go here. You got the press badge. You can just come and go.
Wow. So like, I hope they continue that because, I mean, like we discussed before, thinking about waiting in line after seeing that huge cattle herding line, but waiting at a will call for a badge, I can't even imagine how many people were trying to do that on Friday and then going through that herding line. Oh, my God, that would be hell.
It was the MVP on Saturday, let me tell you that.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
Because one time, like, we got herded without it because one of the security guards said we still had to go through baggage and all that, right? Well, you know, I smoke, so I had to go down to the lower level part. And I was smoking, and I was thinking, and I was like, man, I can just walk right past that to the other side to the cool security people. And it's just, you know, 10 extra feet.
Yeah.
And then come up that side. And then I'm right there, and they'll just let me walk in. And so I think Aaron and I only did that once, and that was on purpose because they were giving away AEW drawstring backpacks. So I got one for Austin.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did they have that little area that you could scan your badge and get, like, a free swag, that type of thing? Whether it was a graphic novel or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. There was that, but I don't think I did it at all because the swag was more weight to carry than what it was actually given out. If that makes sense.
It wasn't worth its weight to carry around. Yeah. Yeah. I totally get it.
Yeah.
Wow. And did they have a special beer? Was Revolution there offering a special beer?
Yep, it was Galaxy
Hero?
Yeah, it was like the double IPA Galaxy, because they had the anti-hero, like normal.
Sure, sure.
And then they has, I think it was the Cosmic Galaxy IPA.
Sounds right. So that was your best friend during the con floor?
Well, let's just say how good Martin and I was last year with our best friends.
Good would be a subjective way to say it, sure.
I think Dewan and Travis took over that dynamic duo this year.
Oh, no. Were they upstairs by the panel room sleeping on the floor
for
about 3 hours?
No, they were never sleeping. They were active, but yeah.
Those two, I'm sure when those two are tipsy, they're probably a fun little duo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
sure.
Like that. What were you planning on getting? Did you have a checklist of stuff that you were looking for? Any con exclusives?
I really didn't have any con exclusives, really.
Mm.
There were some trades that I was looking to purchase because I'd held off for since they came out, basically, because then I can go to the actual artist alley and go to that particular person and give them my money instead of going to the main booth.
Sure. So it wasn't like you were waiting to go to that table that's like buy two trades, get one free.
Well, Aftershock did have two trades, buy two trades, get one free, or buy two hardcovers and get one free.
Ooh.
So let's just say that day, which I think was Friday,
mm-hmm.
Aaron and I hit up pretty much any vendor that had hardcovers, and like we dropped some coin at the Aftershock booth, and then the Jazz Maynard Volume 1 and Volume 2 of the hardcover
sure
was only $25 for both of them.
Dang.
Yeah. One, reverting back to your original question of my hit list, was Heroes in Crisis hardcover.
Nice.
But I purchased it after the con instead of at the con because all creators were at the con. So yeah. it was $50 for the hardcover.
Ooh.
And it was only $17 on Amazon. So
Yeah.
Yeah.
And $50 wouldn't be bad if it's like, can I just purchase it with everyone's signature in it, and oh, look, somebody drew something in it too.
Yeah.
And all you had to do, so you didn't have to sit in a damn line, because that's sort of where I would be, because I freeze up with creators. I just can't get over, like, I'm talking to somebody in my head that's uber famous, and it's really hard for me to, like, talk to them. So that's the route I would have went. But they never do that. It's always like they charge face value, if not more, because the creator's there, and then you have to get in damn line and wait for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, well, I'm glad you got it for $17. Good deal.
Yep. And I really didn't stand in line for autographs, really.
Okay.
Like, I did get books and with autographs in them, but they were, you know, like from friends that were there. Like sure. like David Pipos, and I got Going to the Chapel trade and Spencer and Locke Volume 2 trade.
Nice. Was his table pretty busy?
Oh, he sold, I think he said that, he texted and said that he sold over 150 trades.
Ooh.
So he said all he had was a small backpack to take back.
Good. So that is, I'm sure, how a creator wants to do it.
Yeah, and I think everybody that we talked to had said the same thing. Like, they were worried going this year because it was in February, and the potential snow that was coming and all that, and how cold, and if people would come.
And now Corona. So
now, yep, yep. Yeah. Now the Corona with the Lyme.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But everybody that we talked to said they pretty much cleaned house.
Nice.
Like Elliot Rahal said that he had a fabulous time and cleaned out, and Colin did, and David did.
Good.
So it was pretty good.
Yeah, it's sort of like the cons that you have up by you. Like, I mean, Chicago, some people sure say it's a destination, but ideally when you're a creator, it's like you have to hit pretty much three cons in the U.S., you know, and I would say Chicago is not one of the three. So it's hard to get like creators to go to it. And I think it stinks that it's in February, C2E2, that is. But I got to say, it's probably smart because it's so far away from other cons that it might just be like, yeah, I have some time in February. Okay. And as long as people have good word of mouth and it's not like, oh, my God, there was 24 inches of snow. That's like getting people around your neck of the woods. Like, it's not a destination, but creative word of mouth being positive, that'll draw more people there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, thank God.
Well, and like you said, like last year, I had C2E2 one weekend, and then the following weekend was Planet, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, that's a heavy hit on Daddy's wallet.
Hell yeah. and it's easy to justify, like, I'm only going to these two.
Right.
But still, like, that's a tough sell.
Yeah, and it's back to back.
Yeah.
So they announced that it's back to the middle of March next year.
Jesus, what are they doing yo-yoing around like this?
I don't know.
So dumb. But hey, at least it was positive for the creators. I mean, creators lug in all of their wares, and I'm sure at the end of the con, no one wants to take anything home. So that's good. That's good that people want to buy.
Yeah, for sure.
And was it pretty crowded?
Well, see, that was the debate of the weekend.
Oh.
Because, like, who was it? Dennis or Jay and I was thinking that Friday was like, I don't know, like an old Texas ghost town there. Ooh. And we could do whatever we wanted, you know, walk around, see everything.
Love it.
But then, like, I think Bill Beer and Bill Bone said that it's just as busy as it was last year.
Yeah, Fridays is usually not bad. There's some elbow room that you can enjoy. It's Saturday that's the cluster.
Yeah.
And how was it this year?
Saturday, it was still a cluster.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's terrible.
Yeah. And I ended up not going Sunday.
Oh, when did you leave?
We had to leave by 2.
Okay.
But we had to be out of the B&B by 1:30.
Gotcha.
And the con didn't open till 10. So yeah. I didn't want to Uber over there and then Uber back to the B&B and then Uber to Union Station. So.
Or even Uber over to C2E2 and then try to find a lockbox that you can put all your shit into.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think I'm glad I took the train and not flew because I think my luggage was over capacity with all those hardcovers.
So Friday, you must have had a broken back carrying all that shit.
Oh, man, yeah. Me and Aaron looked like the Hunchback of Notre Dame, that's for sure. And then Aaron went back Sunday, and they had like 50% off hardcovers, and he walked away with like two more.
Yeah, he told me he got a omnibus that he absolutely was not expecting to get, he's happy that he got it, but man, that thing's weighty.
Yes, because he told you which one it was?
Yes, but feel free, tell the listener.
Well, I was just saying, because like for the last 4 years, he's sworn off Terry Moore and Terry Moore anything. And so I think he followed Jay, I think it was Dennis, actually, because Dennis actually got original art from Terry Moore this year.
Dang, that was going to be my next topic about original pages and art. I wanted you to walk through that.
Yeah, and so Aaron was standing there. And you've been to Terry's table multiple mm-hmm. times, I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
And him and his wife was there, and they're both as nice as they can be.
Oh, it's an easy sell. They're good salt of the earth people.
Yeah. And so Aaron, I think he asked Jay or Dennis, because I think all three of them were there. It's like, mm-hmm. if I'm going to pick up one Terry Moore book, which one is it? And then Terry's wife said, well, my personal favorite's Motor Girl. So that's the one I would say. And I think Jay said the same thing. And so there was the two trades there, or the Omnibus hardcover. And you know the hardcover is old Mr. Bell's weakness.
Oh, God.
So he grabbed that, and then he actually started reading it, like, that Friday. And,
heck yeah.
And I think he was, like, three issues in, or four, maybe, by Sunday. And then he saw the Rachel Rising, which is probably my favorite Terry Moore, if not that, Motor Girl.
Rachel Rising is mine, for sure.
Yeah. And so he texted me, because I'm back at the B&B, and he said, hey, this hardcover is here at this 50% off booth, and how much, I can't find it online at all. So I looked, and it was just $200.
Yeah, isn't it like almost out of print type of thing?
Yes. And so I was like, well, what does he have on it? He's like, I don't know, I'll have to ask him.
But at that point, did you even know when he was heading back to C2E2 on that day, did you even think for a moment he's going to buy another Terry Moore thing?
No, not even close.
So when you got that text, were you just like, oh, he's in?
Yeah, I was like, you son of a bitch. Like, out of all the people.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's just say he got it for a quarter.
The price,
yeah.
Jesus. Wow.
I think he paid $37 for it.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's double crazy because he got it at C2E2 at that price.
For sure.
But it's still crazy in general. Yeah.
Did you get it signed?
Yeah, he got it signed with a little sketch head in it.
Yeah, that's nuts. Yeah. Oh, God, that's awesome. Except that backpack must have...
Yeah.
Killed him, especially. He's flying back.
Yeah, so. Yeah, he's flying. So he actually does have a weight limit on his carry-on and everything. He might have had to throw away a t-shirt or two to get it to fit in there.
Oh, my God. But that's so good, though. I love it. Those are the stories. Those are the con stories that are just freaking classic.
Yeah.
It's like last year, Jay with the Love and Rockets. Like,
yeah,
that is a story that I'm not going to forget, you know? Yeah.
And Jay got a Hernandez sketch this year.
What?
He just found. I think Dennis found it at a booth and texted him. And then, I don't know price or anything, but it's just like a little bus head sketch of one of the characters from Love and Rockets, I believe.
That's so good.
And Jay was like, I couldn't pass it up.
No, as he's jumping on the phone with his wife and like, all right, I'm going to do this. Are you okay with me doing it?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is like they went to Cowabunga before C2E2 even started.
Mm-hmm.
And Dennis sent me a text and was like, hey, this was Wednesday night. Like, I'm packing still. And he's like, hey, they're giving us hella deals up here. It's like... 33 cents a comic.
Wow.
And so he got me 36 Teen Titan books that I didn't have.
Dang.
And I owed him 10 bucks. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's it. That's the dream.
Yeah. I think, and he can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Jay got so much that he had them ship it to his house from there.
Damn, that's smart.
Yeah, so he didn't have to lug that around or anything.
Or pay for extra carry-on weight.
Yep, and then Dennis, you know, they usually get there. So Dennis picked up his books while he was there, so they didn't have to ship them to him.
Smart.
So.
Dang, what era were they looking at when they were buying their comic books? What were they... Can you remember any of this stuff?
Nah, well,
or even genres?
Dennis was all over the place.
Okay.
Like, I think there was some painted covers that he got.
Nice.
He did pick up an Alex Ross first ever printed cover.
Jeez.
Like his first works in the comics.
Yeah.
And then his second one, but I can't remember what cover that was.
Dang. Did he find any pulp magazines?
I don't, not that he showed me.
Okay. Gotcha. God, that's awesome.
Yep.
Dang. And what were you looking for? You said you bought some trades.
I bought some trades. Like I said, there was most of mine that I got were all hardcovers, but
hell yeah.
I didn't have the library edition of Harrow County Volume 3 and 4.
Uh oh.
So I gave that to Colin.
Nice.
And Unearth, just because of the back matter in it, and then like Austin sure. and I are in the back pages of the first one.
Oh man.
So, and then like Kyle Stram and Baltimore Rivas were all right there, so I got them to sign all three of them.
Nice. Or
I got all three of them to sign it.
Yeah.
And then they have the the Kickstarter, the mm-hmm. Graveyard Slaughter, and I missed out on the Kickstarter.
Ooh.
But Colin had them at his table, so I was able to get that.
Cool.
And then I got, let's see, what else did I get? I got Batman Nightfall.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Omnibus soft cover.
Damn.
For $10.
Ooh, that's cheaper than $1 a book.
Yeah, yeah.
Dang.
I bargain shopped on that one.
Nice.
And then I got Dark Ark, the Omnibus hardcover.
Huh. Dang. From
Aftershock. And Rough Riders, the hardcover. Ooh. Omnibus. So it had all of them.
That's a read right there.
Yeah.
Dang.
And then they got Pestilence hardcover.
Mm-hmm.
And then Animosity Volume 1 and 2 hardcover.
Dang, you're filling in a lot of holes.
Yeah. Well, I'm filling up a shelf.
That's true. That's true. It's a weedy shelf.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. What was Travis and Dewan after?
Dewan was kind of all over the place too. Like, he got some hardcovers too.
Uh-huh.
One of his purchases, we will talk about an answer to one of the questions later.
Oh, okay. All right. Don't spoilers.
Yeah. He also bought a piece of original art from Ryan Lee.
Nice.
Which is, and I'm going to get it wrong, Mountain Head, I think.
Okay.
And it was a beautiful piece of art from Ryan Lee. And it had, like, the creator roll call page.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Travis did get magazines.
Ooh.
Some heavy metal.
Sure. I know he's been venturing into heavy metal and, like, epic, I thought.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bill Beer got tons of Batman things.
And heck, yeah.
And I think he got a couple of hardcovers as well. I think he got the Jazz Maynard as well.
Nice.
Jay got another copy of Batman 450, whatever it is, 457.
He wants to own the market on that issue.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it was... let's see, Thursday night... We went to the Three Dots and a Dash with Colin.
Nice.
And then Friday night, Matthew Klein and Connor from Valiant came over uh-huh. to the B&B, and we ordered pizza.
Oh, cool.
And so we got to hang out and drink with them a little bit. And
that's fun.
See some sneak peek behind the scene things.
Uh-oh. Can't be mentioned on this podcast.
No, I'm sure we'll talk about it on VCP.
Good, good. All right.
Well, things that we can talk about, let's just say.
Oh, boy. Look at you, Mr. VIP.
No, it was actually really fun. I mean, both times. Like, there's a whole story in itself to Three Dots and a Dash, let me tell you.
Okay. You could save some stuff for Valiant Central. I get it.
No, well, Three Dots and a Dash was with Colin, so.
Sure.
Have you ever been there?
No, I haven't.
Okay. It's a speakeasy tiki bar.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So everybody goes there. This is Thursday night. So everybody goes there. Aaron's flight was canceled, and then he was able to get on the red eye. And so we had reservations at 9:15, 9:30, 2 different times for the large group that we had. Well, the Uber driver or Lyft driver, whichever, drops us off, and then he's like, "Okay, have a good night." And so we get out, and like we're in front of a bank, and we're like, "Where in the hell is Three Dots and a Dash at?" We're not seeing it at all. So we're walking up and down the sidewalk, and of course we get swarmed by give me a dollar people, right?
Sure.
Well, the one homeless guy was like, "Are you looking for Three Dots and a Dash?" And we're like, "Yeah." He was like, "Man, it's behind, I'm telling you, it's in the alley." And I was like, "Dude, I've seen this movie before." Like, no, I'm not being that guy. And so he's like, "I'm telling you, for a dollar, if I'm right, will you give me a dollar?" And I was like, "Oh boy."
You're not gonna roll this boy right now.
Yeah. So we actually did go down the alley, and as soon as you turn down the alley, you see palm trees and lights and everything. So it was in the alley. So I gave him $5. So,
Very good.
but so we're our group is the first ones there. So I text Colin and I was like, "Hey, I don't know if your Uber or Lyft driver will drop you off in the same spot, but it's in the alley. So, just letting you know."
So don't be tipping
Yeah.
this guy on the street.
Well, our Uber, so it was on a one-way street, okay? Say it was going north. And our Uber driver dropped us off on the left side, which is the side of Three Dots and a Dash. So Colin texts me and he's like, "Hey, I'm out front and this is like an alley where Bruce Wayne's parents died in. I don't think this is it."
It has a very strong smell of urine.
Yeah. So his Uber driver dropped him off on the right side, so he went down the wrong alley, like he was
Got
across the street.
it.
And I was like, "I'm
Thanks,
coming.
Uber driver.
Yeah, I'm coming. I'm on my way, so don't get shot."
Who picked this location?
Colin did, because
Okay.
he's a tiki bar connoisseur.
Yes, he is. So just was curious.
Yeah, there's one at Planet that we visit frequently, or
Nice.
not frequently, but
When
around
you're
Planet
there.
time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, Colin's the expert, and so he's like, "Hey, the skulls mean how strong the alcohol is. So, pick a drink." But he was like, "It's not so much the drink that's gonna get you right off the way. It'll sneak up on you, and it's probably the sugar hangover that you're gonna have, not the actual alcohol hangover."
Makes sense.
So there was tons of great drinks there.
And you didn't have to drive, which is awfully nice.
Yeah. And I think, and then they had like, we wanted to get it, and they were like group drinks. So
Ooh.
like one's called Shot-a-Puss,
Sure.
which is a big octopus, and then on the arms had the shots on it.
And then is it like a communal drink that everyone's sticking a straw in?
No, it's just actually shots on the tentacles.
Ah, okay, gotcha.
So
That's fun.
like we had nine, so they could put add tentacles or take tentacles away to add the shots on there. Just because we seen it on a different table.
Nice.
And then they had the Port Royal, which is like a big pirate ship, and the flags were the shot glasses.
Ooh.
And then, you know, you had your regular drinks, which they had the old fashioned, but I mean, who goes to a tiki bar and orders an old fashioned, right?
Sure, sure.
So I'll let you in on the ones that, the three that I got.
Oh boy. Okay.
All right. So the first one I ordered is the strip and go naked.
Of course. Ronnie Barum.
It is London Dry Gin, Passion Fruit, Tanqueray, Lemon, and Pale Ale.
Ooh, jeez, that sounds strong.
Yeah.
Man.
So then the second one that I got, and this one was two skulls, by the way.
Okay. What was the first one?
The strip and go naked was the two skulls one. Oh, are you talking about the shots?
No, I'm talking about the strip and go naked.
Yeah. That was that. And then I got the three dots and a dash.
Okay. How many skulls was that?
It was two.
Oh, okay.
And it's aged rum. Aged Guyana rum. Guyana rum.
Sure.
Allspice. Orange and lime.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So then, by this time, the Baron is feeling.
Oh, hell yeah.
So I got the tropical itch.
Oh, no. Okay.
And that's four stars. Oh, or four skulls.
Oh, no.
It has bonded bourbon.
Ooh.
Overproof Jamaica pot still rum.
Oh.
The Gaia 151 rum.
Mm.
Lemon. And passion fruit.
Man. And did any of these taste like alcohol? They all sound like popsicles.
Yeah, they all tasted like popsicles.
Oh, so dangerous. And when did you, at which point, which drink were you, did you strip naked?
None of them.
What?
Yeah, none of them.
Dang it.
The tropical itch was the strongest of all of them, obviously, because it had the four skulls.
Hell yeah.
It's the one that tasted the most like an alcoholic drink. The other guys, they got a painkiller and the jet pilot, which is funny because, so the painkiller is a Caribbean rum blend, Tanqueray, pineapple, and coconut.
Okay. That sounds good. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other one was the jet pilot, and it's aged overproof Jamaican rum, lime, grapefruit, and cinnamon.
Ooh. Sheesh. And were these Hoboken prices, or were these New York City prices?
They were Hoboken prices. Like, I think the highest drink for the actual drinks were like $10 to $15 a drink or so.
Dang, for downtown Chicago, that ain't bad, dude. You go to some craft beer bars, you're spending $15 if you're lucky.
Yeah. Now, the Shot-a-Puss.
Yeah, but that had how many shots on it?
Yeah, well, that you can customize it. But
yeah, it probably had 10 shots on it.
Yeah, that was like $100.
Yeah, but it had 10 shots on it. 10 bucks a shot ain't bad.
No, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And I'd give that place a credit. Holy cow.
What was funny was because there was a gold-plated menu piece of paper in there, or in the menu, right?
Uh-oh.
And it was for VIP special drinks or whatever.
Oh.
And it was funny because Dennis was going so on and on about this one drink, and he kept calling it something like the Fidel Castro or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Cullen, myself, and Aaron, maybe at the time, because Aaron showed up there.
Like, oh, good.
He went to the B&B, dropped off his stuff, and then came there.
Oh, nice.
And so, like, we all looked at each other and were like, it's just a rum and coke. So just call it a rum and coke. And, like, Dennis was like, no, it's a Fidel Castro. And I was like, no, it's just a rum and coke, bro. Like,
let him enjoy his Castro. Come on.
Yeah. So, yeah. We all had a good time.
So at what point, what drink did you put on like a hula skirt?
Probably at that time. That was probably the three dots and a dash.
Ooh. Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
The next day was Colin Wright. Did you wake up with a sugar hangover?
I didn't. It was more like a sinus headache for me.
Sure, sure.
Now Travis, on the other hand,
yeah.
Travis and Dewan, like Dewan wasn't there, but you know, Dewan will eat vodka with his cereal. But like Travis was double fisting them at the three shots in the dash, or yeah, three dots in the dash.
Oh no, Travis!
Yeah,
I mean he's the youngster of the group, but my.
Yeah, it didn't faze him that Friday though.
Really, that's impressive.
Yeah, like, you know, the hair of the dog or whatever they say.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, so the end of the night, we all got X-Men names, I think, or superhero names.
What?
You know, you go out with guys that enjoy comic books, so then it's like, I think Colin picked a name for everybody, that like who we reminded them who, like Travis was Jimmy Olsen, and Aaron was Phantom X.
Ooh, lucky.
Mm-hmm. And then I was Jubilee. I think that's just because he secretly hates me.
Oh, man. Why does he not like you?
I don't know.
Oh, but you took it for the team, or at least for Rob Krieger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did, because, I mean, I just thought maybe I was the life of the party, that's so I could shoot fireworks out my fingers.
You are that. I will agree with him there.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a good time.
That's fun. Well, what did he say who he was?
No, if he did, I don't remember.
Okay.
Because he had a name for Jay and Dennis too, but I don't remember.
Yeah, you had the hula skirt on at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was starting to itch a little bit from the tropical itch at that point.
It was getting to you.
Yeah.
That's all right. So, and when you left, you didn't get rolled by any of the people hanging out there? That's good. Yeah,
no, we didn't get rolled.
Okay. Good, good. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah,
did you go for a 2 a.m. meal somewhere around there?
No. What did we do? No, we didn't do anything. I mean, we went back because we already went to Costco's and everything, so we had to... pretzels and chips and stuff back at the B&B.
Understandable.
And I first thing I grabbed was the Coke Zero. Kind of stir the sail before I crashed.
Oh, that's so funny. And did you wake up and hit Saturday the con as early as possible? Or no, that this was Friday, right?
This was Thursday. Friday.
You guys got there early, 10:30.
Yeah,
that ain't bad.
So that's the thing is, Aaron and Dewan, no, Aaron and Bill went over there, and Dewan, to get their badge,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And like Aaron's texting the whole time. It's like 9 o'clock. He's like, "Where are you guys at? You guys coming over here for breakfast?" And he was like, "You guys con horribly." And I was like, "No, you guys are already there, so just stay there. Have breakfast around there, and we'll be there."
Does he not know how you guys con?
Yeah, he cons in Hoboken, though, so where there's like tons and tons and tons of people, even on Friday.
Oh, God.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, did you guys hit any panels?
We hit the Valiant 101 Bloodshot panel.
Were they able to get the AV units working?
Yeah.
Oh, good,
yeah.
Good.
They
good.
Were. Yeah.
All right, okay.
I went to a Hickman and Teenie Howard
Ooh.
X-Men panel.
Ooh. And any insight?
Not really. I mean, it was just, I mean, you had people asking stupid questions at the end.
Sure.
Like, okay, so you're developing this person. Could you tell us what happens in issue 9, even though we're on issue 6? You know, those type of questions.
Was it jam-packed, I would assume?
Hickman, oh, yeah, it was jam-packed, yeah.
Yeah. And was Valiant giving you any insight to what's coming up?
So, I don't know if you heard, I put the episode out on BCP, but Vin Diesel spoke to us.
Whoa.
And thanked us for being fans and that type of thing.
Like Skyped in?
Yep.
Wow, that's sort of interesting.
And then we actually had movie posters and free Bloodshot t-shirts in the back.
Dang.
That we can pick up. And tickets to Bloodshot early. Wow. But, like, I didn't get one because it was only downtown Chicago.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
At the theater there or whatever, so.
Sure.
I mean, other people picked them up just for, like, souvenir part of it, but.
That's cool, though.
Yeah, it was really cool.
That's really neat. Did they do any gold covers?
Yep.
Dang.
We got a Bloodshot gold.
Nice.
The new Tim Seeley one. Tim Seeley was on the panel.
Oh, cool. Was he pretty jazzed with it?
Yeah, actually, okay. He was. I think, so Matthew Klein, which is one of the uppers in Valiant, and then Tim Seeley, and it was moderated by, like, a comic book resource guy, I believe.
Okay.
Which he was actually pretty good. Like,
good.
He knew his stuff, and he asked the questions that kept the ball rolling and all that. Matthew was the only one that had seen it.
Uh-huh.
And so they talked about that a little bit, and then Tim talked about his current run on Bloodshot and why he likes it and why he wanted to do it. And then they ended with talking about the future of Valiant 2020.
And is that promising and exciting?
It is for me, actually.
Cool.
I mean, most of them have been announced anyway, but I think they call themselves the Kansas City Mafia, basically, like comic book mafia. So you have Dennis Hopeless, right, or Dennis Hallam, and you have Cullen, and you have Jeremy Hahn, and Jason Aaron, even though Jason Aaron's not doing it, not doing Valiant.
Uh-huh.
And then like Kyle Strom and those guys, and like and B. Claymore, and you have those guys, like almost all of them are doing something with Valiant right now.
Pretty cool.
So yeah, it's pretty cool.
That definitely is. Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah.
And Valiant had a table instead of sharing a booth.
Nope, they shared a booth.
Wow.
They shared a booth with Awesome Minis, which is basically like custom Lego minifigures.
Right. That's neat.
Yep.
Very cool.
Yeah. And the creative teams on the books is pretty cool too. Like that, I think that has me, like, I'm biased because most of the guys are from Missouri, you know, type of thing. But like the books that they picked the people to do, like, makes sense.
Yeah, it sort of fits their personalities and creative style.
Yeah, like Colin doing Shadow Man. That's like down his alley, you know. Jeremy Hahn drawing Final Witness, which is like a crime noir murder mystery.
Mm.
Like he loves drawing the noir stuff, you know.
So. What's Kyle Strand doing?
No, he's not doing anything.
Oh, I thought he was. Okay.
No. And, like, Hopeless is doing, or Hallam, whichever he is now, he's doing XO.
Ooh, that's fun.
Yeah. So, you know, and then Tim Seeley's obviously doing Bloodshot, and his take on Bloodshot is like Frankenstein's monster type thing.
That's cool.
So,
yeah, if Seeley's passionate about whatever project he's doing, he's usually a fun listen.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, I don't know. He's not, like, his books are hit and miss with me. Like, especially his main two books.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, I love The Revival. And I love Hack Slash, so.
Sure.
And I've been enjoying the Bloodshot one. It kind of reminds me of the 90s Bloodshot, so.
I get it.
Yeah, and like the Teeny Howard and Hickman, who else? Dang it, somebody else was on that panel with them.
Hmm.
Whoever's doing the books, X books with them.
Okay.
But it's like he was just how impressed he is with the X team right now. The creator X team, and them all being cohesive and, you know, feeding off of each other and staying in continuity and staying in the, you know, what they each want to achieve, but telling their own stories.
That sounds good.
Yeah. I think he almost slipped up and said that he thinks that they're the best X team ever, but.
Uh-oh.
He was like, yeah, we're pretty good. I think we're pretty awesome.
We have some ideas.
Yeah.
But what's going to happen once those ideas run out?
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. Do they have 5 arcs planned, or in your head, you really only have 2?
Right.
Or no.
Yeah. Yeah.
But hey, after his Avenger run, I'll give him plenty of space.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
What? This sounds very good. Very good.
Yeah. Yep. This is a grand old time.
Heck yeah. And what did y'all do Saturday?
What did we do? We went to the old Scout Saturday night.
Okay.
We just had drinks and then and ate and came back and played. Dennis brought his NES like he normally does.
Sure.
So we played the old Tecmo Bowl or Punch Out.
Had a chill night.
Yeah, just had a chill night.
That's good.
And then there was like 2 cases of beer that needed to be drank and some gin.
And was that when you had the Valiant people over and had pizza?
That was Friday night.
Friday night, okay.
Yeah, good. That was Friday night.
Gotcha.
Yep.
It's always good to lay low.
Yeah.
After tying that on a little bit.
And then Dewan, his frat buddies came, so like he went out with them for a little bit at the Scout, and then came back. But yeah,
came back after tying one on with his frat buddies, or were they pretty low key?
No, they were pretty. He was pretty low key. At least he seemed like it. He could have been a great actor too.
Yeah, that's what he admits to you.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? The mystery.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. Oh, I love it. Hey, I wanted to ask you a quick question in regards to your availability. I know we have some question and answers, but I was curious if you had any time that maybe we could do question and answers maybe in another episode, because this went a little long.
Yeah, we can do that. That's fine.
Okay.
That's up to you.
We'll get our schedule situated. Of course, I always want Ronnie Barron on as many episodes as he'll give us.
Yeah, that's totally cool with me. We can do... because we got tons of actual questions, which is cool.
I know. And I don't want to forget them. You know me. I'm always yelling at Martin to bring on the questions.
And yep. Put them in the Google Doc.
Heck yeah. So I just thought, well, why rush through some questions when I think we did it? I think you did a fantastic job bringing everyone up to speed with C2E2. I was I still am kicking myself. I wish I was there. Family emergency pulled me away this year, so I wasn't able to make it. But hey, 4 days later, I'm finally back to my routine, and a little bit of the stress is 20% of the stress is off my shoulders. So we're A-OK. We're swimming. We're still swimming upstream, but it's a little easier now. So
there you go.
Yeah.
And I know I had to rock Aaron to sleep one night because he was crying because he wasn't going to get to see you. But
well, I wish I was there rocking him to sleep. That would be best here. Because you know I'm so good at that.
Yeah.
You know he has my soft shoulder to snuggle up to. So
And he pat his bottom.
Yes, I would have put him right to sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. God. I wish I was there. Trust me on that one. I was very jealous.
Oh, yeah.
I just can't believe it's going back to March. Jesus H. Christ.
Yeah. It's March, like, 21st through something, I think.
Wow, so that's even later than last year.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn, we're talking spring.
Yeah.
Like, no worries of bad travel then.
Ronnie can wear shorts again to the con.
Hell yeah. We love that. Come on.
Yeah. It is the 26th through the 28th of March.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Well, hey, bring it on.
Yeah.
Get us there. Let's go. Come on. Let's
rock and roll.
Oh, my God. I'm jealous. But thanks a lot for taking the time.
No problem, buddy.
Nerdy Legionnaires, this has been a fantastic episode. C2E2 recap episode for Nerdy Legion. If you'd like to reach out and ring our bells, reach out to Ronnie on Twitter, RonBar316. Me, Nick Wetmore. You can also email us at hello@nerdylegion.com. Keep on sending in those questions, because next episode we will be answering any and all. Till then, good night.